Since March, students all over the country have had to adapt with different methods of receiving an education. There are currently no federal mandates concerning how schools should adjust their methods of teaching due to the coronavirus pandemic. Currently, 39 states have no statewide mandates concerning schools, and the decisions regarding whether schools remain open or not are left up to local districts. California is currently a partial closure state, meaning that each local district decides when to reopen, but in order to offer any face-to-face instruction, they must abide by certain metrics put forth by Governor Gavin Newsom. As a college student, I've made my peace with Zoom University, but I was interested in how this change has affected younger students. With the help of the iTutors program at LMU and through personal acquaintances, I was able to connect with two local 8th graders who are also dealing with remote learning. Throughout this episode, I will discuss the struggles, obstacles, low points, and triumphs of young students trying to make the best of this situation. In September, I started tutoring a student that needed help with math and English. Let's call her G. G is 13 years old and goes to Virgil Medical and Health Science Magnet School. I was familiar with Virgil because my brother had briefly attended there more than 10 years ago. Back then, the school had a bad reputation, and it certainly did not have a magnet program. I was able to ask G's mom why she would send her daughter to a school like Virgil.
The impression of going to Virgil is like, oh, it's full of drugs, it's full of gangs, it's all of these things. But when I looked into it, and then I found out that they do have the medical magnet, they're very strict, and they focus more on the magnet students, on the magnet program.
I thought, if G was as interested in her education as her mother, this tutoring would be a breeze. But immediately, challenges arose. G was not very verbally communicative. She liked having her camera off. She only liked to talk and communicate using the chat. She would ask me to repeat myself several times. She hesitated to unmute herself or turn her camera on when I asked, and she would let me know when her time was up. I became frustrated. Why am I putting more effort into these sessions than G? My math grade wasn't on the line. But after venting to my friend, she suggested that I lay out ground rules and expectations. During our next session, I walked G through my expectations of her and asked her to set some expectations for me. She wrote only one in the Zoom chat. Please don't get mad at me. That comment made me reevaluate my approach. In our following meetings, I made more of an effort to learn more about G. I would try to learn something new about her before we talked about math. Usually, I would ask if anything interesting happened to her over the weekend. She usually didn't say much. But during one session, I saw her screensaver when she started sharing her screen with me. It was of an anime, although I couldn't identify which one. I asked her about it, and she was shy to talk about it at first. I offered that I had started watching some anime over the summer, and I wanted to check out more. That was one of the few times she unmuted herself to suggest titles. She remained unmuted for the rest of the lesson, and I could tell that that small conversation was a good way to break the ice. Once, I asked G if she was as tired of remote learning as I was. But to my surprise, G mentioned that she preferred online learning.
Like, what would your ideal classroom look like? Like, would it be... It would be online. What do you like about the online format that you don't like about in person?
You're not in a room physically with other people, and then if you have to pull something, you can just like message the teacher instead of like raising a hand in front of the classroom and being paranoid of everyone just judging you for not knowing what you need to do.
I thought that maybe this generation was simply more open to doing everything online. And I decided to get a second opinion. I asked the little sister of a friend of mine. She's also in the 8th grade, she's also 13, and is also in a magnet school with a specialized program, although hers was centralized around the performing arts. Let's call her M. I asked M how she felt about remote learning.
Would you say that you learn more in this format or in the traditional classroom format?
Oh, definitely in the traditional classroom.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I feel like I get distracted very easily, and there isn't anyone to, like, help me get back on track, because Barbara has classes at the same time, and my mom usually isn't at work. I mean, is at work, so I don't have anyone to, like, tell me what to do. And especially that with turning in assignments, like, no one's there to keep reminding me to turn them in. And I get, and I'm just, like, on my phone all the time, and I usually just forget to turn stuff in. Like, even if I already did it, I just forget to turn.
I noticed that G would also have a hard time dealing with distractions. While trying to explain slopes and plotting points on a graph one week, I noticed that she started doodling the little figures from the game Among Us. My first instinct was to tell her to erase them and pay attention, but I decided to lean in and talk about Among Us and doodle with her instead. I showed her a previous doodle that I had made on Microsoft Paint of Mojo Jojo from the Powerpuff Girls, and she laughed at how mediocre it was. I turned our attention back to slopes, and she didn't doodle for the rest of the hour. Art also came up in my conversation with M.
I think I've been drawing since I was, like, in fourth grade. So, yeah, I'll probably keep doing it because it's really fun.
Do you feel like part of the reason why you like to draw is because, like, you know that the only person that can judge it is you? Would you feel like it was more of a chore if you had to do it for a class than if you just did it for yourself?
Yeah, probably. Like, most of the reason that I didn't go to the class, because I felt like if someone was telling me, like, what to draw, and, like, I had to do it in, like, a specific, like, moment of time, it would probably feel more like a chore, because I usually like drawing. Like, because at the end, when you're finished with it, you feel very proud of yourself. And it's, like, more of a thing with yourself. And, like no one else can, like, tell you, oh, this is bad, blah, blah, blah.
I asked G the same question, and she had a very similar response.
I've noticed you like to draw, right? Like, you like to doodle and stuff. Do you think you're going to take an art elective when you're in high school?
No.
Not even if it was offered? Oh, you don't want to be told to draw? Like, what to?
Yeah, I don't want to be told. I like doing it for my enjoyment, not be, like, told, like, oh, this is what you have to do. And, yeah, I do it for my own enjoyment.
Hearing the responses of both of these girls about what art meant to them and how it couldn't really be qualified by other people other than themselves, it made me think about my whole role as a tutor. I thought that my main role as a tutor was to make sure that G's grades were on track. And although that's mostly what we did when we worked on our math lessons together, it also made me realize that I was one of the few people that she was able to connect with on a weekly basis that she felt comfortable connecting with. And I shouldn't take that for granted, especially in times like these. I think that right now, emphasizing things like grades wasn't the most helpful or healthy thing for both of these young students. It's not like they were unaware of the role of education in their lives.
Would you say that you feel pressure to succeed academically?
It gets tiring over time. Because you're just trying to do the best of them, and then, like, they kind of wait in there. Like, you have to do this, or else you're not going to succeed. And then there's this, and then there's a bunch of other things you need to do, too.
Well, I feel like my parents, like, expect me to do really good in school and, like, graduate high school and college and stuff. But I feel like a lot of kids, like, now can't, like, are having trouble being able to get education right now. So, like, I'm really not taking it for granted, because I know a lot of kids don't have, like, what's it called? Like, they don't have, like, computers at home, and they don't have, like, Wi-Fi and internet. So, like, I'm like, grateful to be able to, like, just to have these stuff lying around.
Both expressed extreme gratitude in having the resources that they had and the privileges that they enjoyed. Both definitely understood the severity of the situation they're living through, and both seem to be taking it one day at a time, like the rest of us. For what it's worth, by our final sessions, G was less reluctant to communicate with me, and she had greatly improved her math proficiency. She moves at her own pace, but I think we've taught each other that as long as we keep moving, we'll eventually get to where we need to be.